The church is one generation away from extinction. That's a pretty powerful way, a pretty powerful statement to begin a sermon with. What does that mean? Is it even true? Well, I'm here today. My name is Tim. I'm one of the pastors here, and Christy is also one of the pastors. And it's a great joy for us to be able to come to God's Word and talk about what this stuff means. You know, in his book, From Generation to Generation, Building a Godly Legacy, Rick Fisher, who incidentally will be here in May to talk about legacy, writes this. Recent studies indicate that more than 65% of children who grew up attending church will walk away from their faith before they graduate from college. When a few years of higher education can dismantle 18 years of church attendance, we have a situation on our hands. And this is not a new phenomenon. The book of Judges describes events that took place over 3,000 years ago. Here's one sad commentary of the day. It says this, after that generation died, this was a generation who loved the Lord. After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. Can we fight back against the disappearance of faith amongst our children and their children? I believe with all my heart we can. I believe this is God's will for us. Our theme today is that legacy is worth fighting for. Many people want to leave a legacy, something by which they'll be remembered and that will impact the next generations. Benjamin Franklin said, either write something worth reading or do something worth writing about. Now there's a whisper of that in all of us, an inkling for that in all of us. We want our lives to matter, to make a difference. But most of our life's accomplishments will disappear or be forgotten shortly after we die. I've written books and musicals and songs. I've recorded CDs, filmed a movie. I have a patent. But almost no one knows about it. Even I have forgotten most of it. What I thought would be something of lasting endurance turned out to be a mist on the ground that disappears with the rising sun. So what matters? What will last? What is really worth fighting for? Pastor Christy and I want to talk today about leaving a legacy of faith. I believe that this legacy is something that can have eternal results.
Tony Evans says, the Proverbs 31 woman is not the model of a perfect woman. She is the model of a committed woman under God. This is a great descriptor of my mom. She would be the first to admit that she's not perfect, but she's intentional about growing in her relationship with Jesus and living out her faith. She's a great listener. She's full of godly wisdom, quick to forgive and ask for forgiveness, full of compassion, a woman of prayer. And to be honest, the list could go on. I'm truly blessed by her influence towards Jesus in my life. She's also been very intentional in praying that the Lord would bring others into my life that would be great mentors and encouragers in my spiritual journey with the Lord. And her prayers have been answered. The list is many, but I just want to share with you two. The first is Patty. I was very young, and I remember our church holding a mother-daughter tea. Well, my mom was one of the organizers of the event, and so Patty graciously stepped in to adopt me as her daughter for the day. And the moms were supposed to bring something that was of great value or sentimental meaning to them. And so Patty gave me this pin. Well, you can tell just that I still have this, that of course it had great impact and meaning. I still keep this in my treasure box to this day. Patty modeled a heart of hospitality. We often ate at her home. She was one of my favorite Sunday school teachers. She had such a soft heart towards the Lord and so compassionate. And I still treasure our friendship, even though it's been years since we've seen each other. Well, now let me introduce you to Irene. Irene entered my world when I was in my 20s. We attended the same church where I eventually came on staff, and she was in her 70s when we met. And I'd go to her home every week for tea and a time of prayer together. We would spend time studying God's word, and she was a safe place for me to share my joys and my struggles, knowing that she would bring me to Jesus and always point me to Jesus. She was full of wisdom, humility, and a woman after God's heart. She served alongside me both in ministry and in the corporate world, gave of her time, her gifts, and radiated the love of the Lord. These women took time to invest in me, to leave a legacy of faith in me, and it powerfully affected my life. They made the decision to live out what our text describes today. So turn with us to Psalm 78, verses 1 to 8. I'll be reading from the NIV version today. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him.
How do we leave a legacy for good? Well, I think there are three parts to leaving such a legacy. First, we have to have something good to give away. Okay, that's the first step. We have to have something good to give away. Second, we have to have someone to give the good thing to. And third, we need to articulate clearly the good thing that we're trying to give away. So let's jump into the first part. We have to have something good to give away. Verses 1 to 3 of that passage that Christy just read. My people hear my teaching, listen to my words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter things hidden, things of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. Israel was an old society. By the time the psalmist writes this psalm, there had already been more than 1,000 years of history from when God had began a personal relationship with a guy named Abraham. During that millennium, God worked in powerful ways and in and through his chosen people. The psalmist had a lot to draw on, but only because he heard and he knew what his ancestors said. If he had never taken anything in, he would never have anything to share. So he paid attention. He studied. He read. He learned. And the truths of God got into his head and into his heart. And because of that, he had something to give away. His stockpile of truth was large. What about you? Is there an abundance of spiritual truth and experience in your life? Or is there a scarcity? You can't give away what you don't have. Too many times we've been content with just reading or just the teaching on Sunday morning for our spiritual diet. 6 days we live our lives. We work, we take care of our kids, we balance our books. And then on Sunday we get to church to get our spiritual nourishment. My friends, this just isn't enough. It's not enough. We need a steady diet of Christ in our lives. We need to be in our Bible every day so we can grow closer to Jesus. We need to be in prayer every day, building our relationship with Christ. We need to be expectant and on the lookout for Jesus to be at work in our lives. This is how we fill up our spiritual reserves. This is how we have something to give away. I've been a music teacher in the past. I'm not a good music teacher, so don't call me up and ask me to teach your kids. I'm not a great teacher. But I've taught guitar and piano and bass and because I know something about those instruments. I've practiced them. I've studied them. I've performed with them. So I've taught them. I've never taught violin lessons because I don't know anything about violin. I tried once when I was in high school. I rented this violin and I came home and I stood on our deck. We were up on the side of the mountain away from the town, so I figured it was a safe place to go and practice. And I squeaked that thing out. Well, my dog came from somewhere on the side of that mountain, found his, just ran all the way down, sat right in front of me, and then just howled mournfully the entire time. Like, seriously, I guess he was just letting me know I should stick to what I know. But since I had no personal knowledge of violin playing, thanks to my dog, I had nothing to give away to anyone else. We must have a rich deposit of Jesus in our lives if we're hoping to make a rich deposit of Jesus into the lives of the next generation. It just makes sense. Which brings us to our next point. Not only should we have something good to give away, but we have to have someone to give it to.
So verse 6 says, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Scripture clearly tells us that we are to pass this good thing down to our children. Statistics show that parents and grandparents have the greatest spiritual influence in the lives of their children. This graph from Barna Research shows percentages of whose faith tends to be of the greatest influence. As you can see, it clearly shows that parents and grandparents are indeed the ones of greatest impact. George Barna from Barna Research writes, "If you want to have a lasting influence upon the world, you must invest in people's lives. And if you want to maximize that investment, then you must invest in those people while they are young. More often than not, what a person decides about truth, sin, forgiveness, and eternal consequences during the preteen years is the same perspective that a person carries to the grave and beyond, wherever that may take him or her." Well, that is a very sobering thought. He goes on to list some more stats. He says, "Research regarding all facets of moral and spiritual development, whether related to the worldview, beliefs, or behavior, shows that such development starts as early as age 2. The process then progresses rather quickly. Social scientists have known for years that the moral foundation of children is generally determined by the time that individual reaches the age of 9. Now, I know that this puts a lot of emphasis and responsibility onto parents and grandparents, but I firmly believe that those of us without children or grandchildren or those of us that are single are called to invest and influence the next generation. One way that I do that here as a single adult here at ACC is when your child is dedicated before the Lord here at our church, I write a little note in a child's storybook Bible with a scripture inside. I have your child's name written beside this verse in my Bible, so whenever I read that scripture, I pray for your child. The same is true when your child accepts Christ or when your child is baptized. It's a privilege to pray scriptures over your children. I do this not only for kids, but I do this for volunteers, for staff, for family, and others. This is just one simple way that I can be involved in the spiritual journey of the life of children and other generations. I want to direct you at this time to our website, alliancecommunity.ca. And on the sermon, Sunday service tab, there is a booklet that you can print off. And I'm just going to refer to that right now. So go ahead and go to that website. Perhaps praying for your child or your grandchild is new to you. Included in this booklet on the first two pages are just some suggestions of how you can pray for your child, your grandchild, or a child that God has placed in your life. Another way that I invest in the younger generation is in the lives of my nephews and my niece. When each one of them turned 4, I gave them each a treasure chest box. And inside that box, I wrote them a letter. And I talked about how through life, there's going to be things like my pin that have sentimental value to them that they would view as treasure. But the greatest treasure of all is Jesus. And he treasures them so much. And so to be able to share that with them and talk to them about just how deeply God and Jesus loves them is the greatest treasure. So I hope that as I spend time with them building memories, that they just know how much I love them, but even greater, that they know how much Jesus loves and treasures them. Well, my prayer for our children is found in Ephesians 3, which says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp just how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I pray that our children would grow to know the depth of Jesus' love for them, so that when they're my age, they never doubt his love for them. Now, once we have something good to give away and have identified who we're going to give it to, we have to intentionally articulate that good thing."
Psalm 78, verse 4 and 5 say this, "We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children." Mark Holman, in his book, Faith Begins at Home, writes this, "As parents, we pass on things to our children every day. They're watching us, learning from us, and emulating us. The question is not, are we passing things on to our children, but what are we passing on to our children? My dad was a fighter when he was young. He was kicked out of Winnipeg for fighting. And he said he never started fights, but he always finished them. And he moved to BC, gave his life to Christ, and Jesus began to transform him. I can vividly remember one day after church. It was on a Sunday, sitting in the truck with him, and we're pulling out of the parking lot, and this guy comes over, someone from the church, comes over to get his attention. So Dad stops and rolls down his window. This guy starts lambasting my dad, starts yelling at him for how rude and insensitive and greedy and selfish my dad was, simply because where he parked his vehicle on Sunday. And I kept thinking, dude, my dad could dust you so quick. You should probably stop talking right now. But my dad didn't do anything. He just quietly listened, humbly, took it on the chin. He didn't fight back. He didn't argue back. And then when the guy was finished, you know, blowing up at him, Dad said, look, I'm sorry. I don't want to offend you. And from that day on, he parked different. He parked as far away from the church as he could and walked the distance. Well, not too long after that, that guy's son was in school with me, and he was a few years younger than me, but he began to yell and accuse me at school of a whole bunch of things, start spreading rumors about me. And I remember thinking, what should I do with that? Well, I was so impacted by my dad's example. When we're finished, he didn't say, now, son, let me just tell you what happened there. He didn't say anything. I got to watch it, though. I didn't fight back against this kid. I remember my buddy saying, we can shut him up for you. And I just knew that retaliation was not the Jesus way. And I learned that by watching my dad and what he did. My dad passed on a legacy of faith in my life that continues to this very day. Our children, the next generation, are watching us. They're watching how we treat those who are marginalized. They're watching how we treat the poor. They're watching how we forgive and love and treat others. They're watching to see how vital Jesus is in our life. If our relationship with Christ is authentic and real, or if it's just tradition, habit, you know, religious. They're watching how we spend our time. And they're drawing conclusions about what is most important to us. We need to live the faith that we're going to pass down to our kids. But we also need to teach it.
In the book Raising Disciples by Natalie Frisk, she says this about Deuteronomy 6. Moses says to repeat the commands again and again to our children. In an illiterate and pre-literate culture, such as the one in which Moses lived, verbal repetition was a vital tool for anyone seeking to hold on to that information. Today, any early childhood educator will tell you that repetition is still one of the primary ways that children learn. That's why four-year-olds will ask you to read the same book 16 times in a row.
Yep.
They are pre-literate, and repetition is how they learn. Similarly, repeating the core message of Jesus to our children over and over again is how they will discover his great love for them. In verse 4 of our scripture text today, it says, we will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. One of the greatest ways that we can do this is to speak to our children about who Jesus is to us. Share the stories of miracles, forgiveness, redemption, the love of Jesus in your life. Tell how the Lord has provided for you, been faithful, how the Holy Spirit guides and directs you and convicts. Be authentic and share how, even in hard times, the Lord has carried you and journeyed with you and the lessons you've learned through it all. What is the Lord teaching you in your quiet time? Allow your children to hear some of the things that are causing you to grow. Sometimes we find it hard to know how to have spiritual conversations with children and teens. Again, let me direct you to this booklet that you'll find on the website. There are a couple of pages at the back that may help you lead into some spiritual discussions. The first page lists some great questions that you could ask after this service today. And not just what did you learn at church, but just some great questions that will lead into some great discussion. And the second are just some fun conversation starters. Mm. These might take place on the car ride to the soccer field or perhaps around the supper table. But our heart is to come alongside you, to encourage you, to pray for you, to cheer you on as parents and grandparents, and to provide you with the resources that may help you to build into having those conversations with your children and into your faith daily. The Lord gave me the following words when one of my nephews was born. Influence a life, impact eternity. He impressed upon my heart that I have been given the opportunity from the time this child is born to the time the Lord takes me home to heaven to have an influence on this little life and point him to Jesus. My influence can either point him to Jesus or take him away from Jesus. So how am I going to model and live out my life so that he's brought closer to Jesus through my influence? My prayer is that my life would be one that reflects the goodness and love of Jesus, and that the words from my mouth and the way that I live my life would be a reflection of what the Lord is doing in my life and has done in my life to bring others closer to Jesus. And that's the point of all of this. Mm-hmm. We must leave a spiritual legacy so that our kids can avoid the pains that we experienced and not be rebellious. In our text, it says in verses 7 and 8, then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him.
John 10 tells us that Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. And that's what we want for our next generation. I'm actually not interested in my kids being religious or really good churchgoers. I want them to love Christ, to know his love for them, to live in that personal relationship with Jesus their whole life. That's what eternal life looks like. I said earlier that there is a harsh reality about the fading away of most legacies. Ecclesiastes 1 says, no one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who will follow. When we were in Calgary, I used to walk around the community that I lived in. I would go for a walk, you know, most days, practice my scripture verses, plan out my day, just think about how I can make my biggest impact on the world. And during those days, there was another walker out there. It was an older gentleman. His mind wasn't right, and I'm not sure why that was. He would often beg people for smokes. He maybe knew 3 or 4 words, not a big vocabulary. He was hunched over and bent over with age. And I remember watching him one day. We passed. I remember thinking about him, thinking about me, and 10 or 15 years after we die, we probably will have had the same overall impact on the world. No one's going to remember us. We're going to be forgotten. In a way, it's like tossing rocks into a still pond. Okay, you throw the rocks in there. Some will make bigger splashes than others. The ripples will be greater. But it won't be too long before that pond is still again. No recollection of what rocks were thrown in it. And again, I thought about my dad and how long his legacy will last. Even some of his own grandchildren never got a chance to meet him. His own flesh and blood know nothing about him. So what do we do with this innate desire to leave a legacy and the painful reality that it won't be long before that legacy disappears? We need to invest in the legacy of Jesus. The legacy of Christ is shining bright even now, over 2,000 years after he walked this earth. It's still shining bright after my grandfather passed away. It was still shining bright after my dad passed away. And it will still shine bright after I pass away. That's why the best thing I can do with my life is to promote the life of Jesus. That is the best legacy that I could leave. When my children and my grandchildren grow up, and when they have children of their own, I won't be around to encourage them and pray for them and invest in their lives. But Jesus will. The very best thing for my children and grandchildren is not for them to read my books or listen to my music, or even receive an inheritance. That won't carry them through the complexities and the difficulties that this life will throw at them. They need Jesus. They need him so that their sins can be forgiven. They need him so that they can be transformed into who they're meant to be. They need him to help them to make sense of whatever chaos their world will be. They need him so they can have something lasting to pass on to their children. And they need him so that when this world comes to the end for them, they will have an eternity with him. I open this talk by saying the church is one generation away from extinction. Let me now add what Jesus said about that. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So I want to tether to the legacy of Christ. He and only He is the hope for all future generations. His legacy is worth fighting for. Well, as we always do, we want to close our time together with some listening prayer. And we trust that God has been speaking to you today, challenging you of how you live your life and what it is He wants you to do, of who you can invest in. And so let's just go to Jesus and listen to Him. Maybe there's something He wants to highlight in your heart today. And as you're sitting there at home, as you're driving in your car, just quiet your heart and listen. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You so much that You are the Eternal One. Your legacy never ends. Thank You that You have invested Your legacy in our lives. We're so grateful. And Jesus, we know that You are still alive even now. You're here with us right now, ready to speak to us, ready to challenge us, to encourage us, to call us to a higher place. So Jesus, we're listening. What does Jesus want to say to you about the kind of legacy you are leaving? Who is Jesus bringing to your mind right now about who you can leave a legacy to? What might Jesus want you to do this week? To invest in the next generation. Father, I pray that You would pour your love and Your presence in our lives, that we would be open to receive it, that we would pay attention to all that You've done. We would learn and listen and grow just like the psalmist did from the generations before him. We would take Your word seriously. We would meet with You regularly. We would watch and look to see what You're doing. That we'd have a rich storehouse of things to share. Lord, I pray that we would look for those we can share them with, children and grandchildren and nephews and nieces and friends, children of our friends. Lord, think about and articulate clearly with our words and authentically with our lives that which we believe about You. Thank You, Lord, that You are going to use us. Thank You that You have forgiven us, that You've redeemed us, that You've made us new, that we actually have something to share. Thank You that You will be here in the next generation, 100 generations from now, You will still be faithful and true. And so, God, we trust You with our future, with our kids and our grandkids. We trust You. In Jesus' name, amen.